Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. As predicted, Ohio Governor John Kasich focused on the economy last night in his speech before the Republican National Convention. Kasich said the state has gone from 48th in job creation to 4th nationally and to number 1 in the Midwest.
The greatest moral issue in America today is job creation. We had lost 400,000 jobs. Our people were hurting and our families were hurting as a result of the recession.
No one, however, would predict whether the governor would stay within his time limit and whether he would go off script, as he is wont to do on so many auspicious occasions. Joining us now for an up-close look at the speech and more on the convention last night is Columbus Dispatch Public Affairs Editor Daryl Rowland. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Thanks, Ann. Good morning to you.
So the greatest moral issue, let's just take apart that phrase for a second. Is that a way to delineate or to move away from all the other issues that have concerned Republicans in recent days, all the other so-called moral issues? This is the greatest moral issue?
Well, I tell you, Ann, when he said that speech there in the convention hall, I flashed back to a few hours before when the governor met with reporters, mm-hmm. and that meeting came after Rick Santorum, the former Pennsylvania senator, challenged Romney, of course, and fell short, but emphasized many of those quote-unquote moral issues in his campaign. And he called on Ohio and the Republicans to, not forget about that. So, therefore, Kasich's gig is next, so we asked him about it. And I actually have his quote right here. He says, social issues, this is John Kasich responding to Santorum, mm-hmm. social issues are important, but the overriding moral issue in America today is job creation. That's what makes families healthier. So I was struck. It's like just a little mini deja vu experience there. I'm sitting in the convention hall. It's like, hey, he just said this 8 hours ago.
So do you think it was extemporaneous, or do you think it was written into his script? What kind of sense do you have whether Governor Kasich stayed on script last night?
That was interesting because he told us that, yeah, they're doing the teleprompters, but he doesn't do that. From where I sat in the hall, it looked like he had a paper copy of his speech.
Yeah.
And just from, obviously listening to him, not only as governor, but I covered his first convention speech back in 1996, for heaven's sakes. He seemed to stay pretty well on script, although I think he, used most of it from the paper. Now, at the end, I see he did fold up his paper and put it in his pocket, and, that last 30 seconds but that was more of a generic riff, go out, work hard for Romney, it's important to the country, that sort of thing.
Talking to Daryl Rowland, he is public affairs editor for the Columbus Dispatch. He's in Tampa right now at the Republican National Convention. If you have a question or comment for him, 614-292-8513. So, I couldn't tell whether I saw that he had the script. I couldn't tell if he was also, but he's saying there absolutely were not teleprompters there.
No, there were teleprompters, but he had told us ahead of time that he was not going to be using them. And I think he made good on that promise. Again, it's always hard to tell because those things, to those of you who watch on TV last night, obviously you can't see those in the TV. Even from sitting in the hall, you can't tell if he's looking at the audience or if he's reading from a teleprompter.
Right.
But he definitely did look down at the paper a few times.
Yeah.
And now at the same time, I think with us, he didn't deviate greatly from the script. I mean, this is not an almost embarrassing deviation from any sort of prepared remarks that we saw in the State of the State over in Steubenville earlier this year.
ML Schulze of WKSU in Akron reported last night that a few hours before Governor Kasich delivered his 10-minute speech, he wondered whether he'd flop or fly. He said, the two at which I've spoken didn't go all that great, and we'll see. Either we'll have three in a row of not good talks, or maybe the third time is a charm. So it sounds like you've seen at least or witnessed at least one of those before. Daryl, how do you summarize? Was it a charm or was it kind of similar to the others?
I thought he did pretty well last night. And part of it was, you get to these conventions, and again, we are there for hours more than your conventional TV coverage, certainly the network TV coverage. So you're literally hearing hours of political speeches.
Mm-hmm.
John Kasich was animated and really made his case well, I thought, for what he came to say, is that here's us working in Ohio, American philosophy in the Buckeye State. Let Mitt Romney do this for the United States. You know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Again, when you're going in, that's pretty much what he's going to say. In fact, he told us at that same briefing that ML was at, was that you Ohio reporters, you're not going to hear anything new. And that was pretty much accurate. I mean, if you're in Ohio, you pretty much heard that. I should say, I don't know if we had the official applause meter, but when he was introduced, actually when Ohio's delegation announced its vote total for Governor Romney, Governor Kasich was the one who made the announcement. And he got a very loud ovation from across the hall, delegates in other states and folks up in the stands and everything. In fact, probably the only two to get larger ovations were Scott Walker from Wisconsin and, of course, Governor Christie from New Jersey, who gave the keynote address.
How much of that is John Kasich and just Ohio in general? Because Ohio's down there front and center. It's sort of, you know, they have these glorified positions as delegates because they're from the big swing state of Ohio.
Well, right. I think that's a good observation, at least to some extent. On the other hand, remember who the delegates are in all the other states as well. They're the insiders. You know, they know all about, here's the New Hampshire senator. She's an up-and-comer. Here's this guy who's running for the Senate from Texas. You know, he's a good guy. The vast majority of Ohioans I've never even heard of. So it's kind of that name recognition. You know, Kasich has gotten that name recognition. When I was with him in 1996 at the Republican National Convention in San Diego, I actually followed him around for a day. And again, then he was a congressman. He was chairman of the House Budget Committee. Again, nationally, with the general public, probably a low profile, but within Republican circles, he was a rock star back in 1996. And, of course, he ran for president himself 3 years later. He didn't make it with George Bush throwing up all the money and the endorsements and everything. But he was that big back in the 90s. We've sort of forgotten that. We're used to John Kasich, the governor. We're not really used to John Kasich, the national figure. And, of course, those years as a Fox commentator as well. Again, look at the crowd that's in the hall. A lot of Fox viewers. In fact, we rode the shuttle bus last night. Guess what the TV in the shuttle bus was tuned to?
Huh.
One CNN.
Right. I was going to ask, so I forgot. Let's listen to Governor Kasich first. Here he is talking about how the state made an economic turnaround.
So you know how we did it? We did it the way that a family does it. We sat down and set priorities. We eliminated those programs that we no longer needed. And you know, when government people spend our money, they're very wasteful about it. So we went through it and eliminated those things we didn't need, but we prioritized those things that we really did need.
Okay, and then in response to the governor's speech for Ohio Democrats, Cuyahoga County Executive Ed Fitzgerald said Governor Kasich balanced the budget by shifting millions of dollars from local governments and schools, forcing massive layoffs.
And also a wave of tax increases for small towns and cities and school districts. Now, that kind of policy is not fiscally responsible or fiscally conservative.
So Governor Kasich continued that anti-government theme that I heard in a lot of the speeches last night and then just going and in a lot of the pre-convention discussion on Sunday. It was going to be anti-government, and he seemed to continue that. Ed Fitzgerald wanted to clarify a few things, though.
Right. There's no question. That's a red meat theme. It's probably been a red meat theme for the Republican Party since 1980s. Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan brought it to the fore. And it's interesting. Governor Kasich makes his claim that he balanced that budget without any tax increases. We always try, frankly, when we write our stories, to at least put in parentheses or something, no state tax increases, because at least the argument is made, okay, we made all these cuts at the state level to the local government fund, to school funding, added over $1 billion. So this is sort of the other side of the trickle-down economics, as critics would say. Now schools are short, municipalities are short, counties are short in some instances. So, okay, you didn't cut at the state level, but there were cuts throughout Ohio because of this. He also misspoke at one time, quite frankly. He talked about how he had cut the income tax.
Yeah.
As you remember, Ann, you may have been covering the legislature when that first went into effect, the Republicans and Governor Taft implemented a phased-in income tax cut.
Right.
You know, it's been 7-8 years ago now. The last phase, you know, the last year was delayed under Governor Strickland, but he only delayed it a year. That took effect in the final days of Governor Strickland's term. I guess you could argue that Governor Kasich and the Republican legislature, you know, didn't do anything to affect that, but they have not cut income taxes. They have proposed cutting income taxes by increasing the severance fee on fracking of oil and gas wells, however, but that's pending before the legislature.
Right.
Who knows the future of that proposal?
Well, no, I was left with a gee scratching my head. Did I miss something? I just want to welcome to the show now M.L. Schulze of WKSU in Akron. You're at the convention in Tampa as well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We were talking earlier about your report, and you referred to the governor mentioning the two previous conventions where he has made speeches, and then that he didn't do so well there, and that we'll see. Either we'll have three in a row of not good talks, or maybe the third time is a charm. I was wondering what did you make of that, charm or no?
Well, generally, I think the delegates thought he was charming. There was a lot of talk this morning, people in the breakfast. Just talking about how they felt that he really hit it, that he got exactly the right message, that he stayed on message, which is the economy. And there was a little bit of surprise, I think, that he stayed on message, because those who have heard him speak know stream of consciousness is often the way he goes. But he kept it very firmly on point. I was sitting not down on the floor when he was giving the speech, but up with the first row of the alternates. And somebody walked by from California and said, "Oh, but for me to have a governor I could love." So it was something that some of the other delegates outside of Ohio were also responding to.
So we were talking, Daryl was talking earlier back at the San Diego convention back in, how many years ago was that, 91?
96.
Yeah, okay. I went to it, too. I didn't even remember. He was following him around that day. He was in the party, known nationally. Now he's getting a little more recognition outside of the party. People know him as the governor of Ohio, not a congressman working on the boring old budget. So what is your sense about this as an audition for the future, just in case Mitt Romney doesn't win this time around? M.L. Schulze?
Well, of course, this is something at this point, no Republican will entertain that there is any possibility that Mitt Romney will not be elected.
Right.
He was asked about that at a press conference yesterday, and he said very firmly, Mitt Romney not only will be elected, he'll be reelected, and by that time I'll be old. So he at least publicly is downplaying that. He also says he loves being governor. He wants to be a successful governor. But if that doesn't work out, that's okay, too, that there are other things he can do. I mean, the guy's been a fairly ambitious guy. He's been in elected office since he was 26 years old. It certainly is a part of his lifeblood, but he really does seem very laid back about the whole thing at this point.
Daryl Rowland?
You know, Ann, I had an interesting conversation with a pollster last week, and it was kind of off the record, so I'm not going to use the pollster's name. They talked about, however, if Romney falls short this fall, Obama wins re-election, that in 4 years, now there's two assumptions. Kasich gets reelected, and the Ohio economy still, you know, does fairly well, keeps improving for those ensuing years, and maybe even does a little bit better than the nation as a whole. That there'll be a lot of people bringing John Kasich up in that conversation for 2016. Again, whether he wants it or not, you know how politics work.
Mm-hmm. So there were, but there, he wasn't alone. I mean, everybody who's making a speech, that it's a way to put them out there, put out the young blood, the older blood that can make it to the top or not. That's not unusual.
Oh, of course not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was in Boston in 2004, and a young man that not many had heard of gave an electrifying speech. His name was Barack Obama. So these things really can be launching pads. As ML correctly points out, the governor pointed out his age early on. Obviously, he's probably, there's no way he could wait 8 years till, you know, two Romney terms. 4 years, who knows? He'd be about as old as Mitt Romney. I'm just counting off the top of my head.
Yeah, he'd be 68.
Okay.
Daryl, can you stay with us?
Sure.
Okay, ML Schultze, can you stay?
Sure.
Great. When we return, we'll continue our conversation about Ohio Governor John Kasich at the Republican National Convention in Tampa, and maybe a little bit more. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, we are in Tampa. We'll unpack this Mormon moment in American politics with three of the faithful at the GOP convention. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 75 degrees with sunshine, a high of 82 today. Clear skies tonight, a low of 56. More sunshine and a high of 90 for Thursday. Support for 89.7 comes from Tire Discounters, now offering Valvoline Next Gen Recycled Oil. Nitrogen inflation, recycled oil, and replacing lead wheel weights with eco-friendly zinc are just some of the things Tire Discounters does every day to make our environment cleaner. You can find out more online at TireDiscounters.com. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about Ohio Governor John Kasich's efforts at the Republican National Convention last night in his speech. It was about, 10 minutes long. I heard he went over a few minutes. I'm not sure about that. Joining me right now is ML Schultze. She is with WKSU in Akron. ML Schultze, welcome again to the show.
Thanks again.
Also with us, Daryl Rowland, public affairs editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Daryl, once again, thanks for joining us and staying on.
Thanks, Dan. I was glad to help.
Nani and Stowe, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Governor Kasich claimed credit for the auto jobs, which were actually brought about by Sherrod Brown, and Kasich, like Romney, had opposed the bailout for auto jobs.
I was curious in your comment because I listened to the speech. I don't remember him bringing up the auto bailout. Am I wrong, or was that something else, Daryl?
I'm not recalling that either, quite frankly.
He didn't raise it specifically. He talked very generically about jobs, but he has talked about the booming economy. And what Ed Fitzgerald came back in his response to Kasich's speech was, hey, you credited everybody except one of the biggest single factors in keeping Ohio's economy afloat and in a position then for some of these other job growth to take hold, and that's the auto bailout. And he said, well, I expect when you come back to Ohio, you'll join me in thanking President Obama.
Let's listen to Ed Fitzgerald. He's Cuyahoga County Executive Ed Fitzgerald talking about that.
Mitt Romney famously said that we should let Detroit go bankrupt, and John Kasich called it throwing good money after bad. Rescuing an industry that touches 1 in 8 Ohio jobs cannot be called a bad investment.
That's been a little bit of a thorn in the side of John Kasich already. He wants to downplay that.
Well, the Republicans are really trying to slice and dice it a little bit. Every time the question is raised about the auto bailout, Rob Portman will say, well, what Mitt Romney called for was an organized bankruptcy, a structured bankruptcy, and that's what happened. And so what he wanted to see happen is exactly what happened. What that answer does not take into account is that what Mitt Romney was recommending did not include the government money that went into making that buyout happen. And most of the analysts who look at it say that a structured bankruptcy without the government's role in it would not have worked or would not have worked the way it did. Republicans also say, well, they picked the winners and losers by backing this bankruptcy, and therefore the government was in an inappropriate role that way.
And Ed Fitzgerald also brings up the 1 in 8 Ohio jobs. The governor prefers to look directly at, or look at literally auto jobs in Ohio. Right, Daryl? That seems to be what he said before.
Well, as often is the case, first of all, you know, what's that old saying, something about success having many mothers? But everyone wants to, you know, describe how they're the mother of the success, but, mm-hmm. you know, the other person, I don't know. We've had a lot of virgin births here if the Republicans and Democrats had their way about some of these issues. John Kasich is sort of parsed it, so, you know, we can't give the stinking Obama or Brown that much credit. It's only a matter of hundreds of jobs, and people like Sherrod Brown come back and say, well, I'm just relying not on his rhetoric, but other studies, like the OSU Center for Automotive Research and things like that, that shows, you know, that 1 in 8 figure that you've heard over the past several months about auto-related jobs.
Right. My guests are M.L. Schulze of WKSU in Akron and also Darryl Rowland of the Columbus Dispatch. They're both in Tampa, where the Republican National Convention is underway. If you have a question or comment for them, give us a call. If you've been listening to the convention or watching it on one of the few stations that's airing anything on it, give us a call. Tell us what your impression is. And just a reminder of the Republican National Convention, you can watch it on WOSU-TV. You can also listen on 89.7 NPR News tonight and tomorrow night beginning at 7 p.m. You can also visit WOSU.org/campaign2012 for a full rundown. Another high-profile Republican governor and possible future presidential candidate spoke last night. Chris Christie gave last night's keynote. Who got a better reception, Chris Christie or John Kasich? M.L. Schulze?
I'm going to ask Darryl.
Okay. Darryl Rowland.
Chris Christie by far. Now, you know, again, some of that, he is the keynoter, but I think he showed why he's the keynoter. Frankly, that's the first time I'd ever heard him in person, and he has, shall we say, a commanding presence up there at the podium. So, I thought it was fun. I mean, he says, talks about his mother, his father, and his mother was a more direct one, and all that. And says, I am my mother's son, and yeah, okay, I'm seeing that. So, but the post convention commentary, if you will, focused how he had actually toned it down a little bit. I think there's a little bit of that overriding sensitivity to Isaac and, you know, the storm hitting New Orleans again, the anniversary of Katrina and all that. They want to bloody up Obama. They want to pump up Romney, but somehow draw that line where it's not done to excess. I mean, that's an interesting balancing act. But I thought Christie, was pretty much as advertised. Very animated, very blunt, very to the point.
M.L. Schulze, you don't want to comment on that because you didn't hear it, or?
Well, no, I mean, I was just so parked in the middle of the Ohio delegation
okay.
that everything is skewed. You know, it all depends on perspective. One thing that's kind of interesting to me is both Chris Christie and John Kasich, what they share is at least a seeming bluntness and a non-political speak way of going about things, to the point where it caused both of them some headaches. I mean, John Kasich's comment about the idiot trooper and wackadoodles and some others, Democrats love to raise those over and over again. But overall, you find a lot of people saying that they're tired of the careful political speech and that this is refreshing.
There was, John Kasich was something of a Paul Ryan before there was a Paul Ryan. You know, like Ryan, John Kasich made a name for himself as the House Budget Committee chairman, balancing the federal budget and making a name for himself that way. Is there any new kid on the block tension between them and their supporters? Any feelings about that?
I thought it was kind of interesting when Kasich was asked during a press conference yesterday about Paul Ryan as a pick, and he said, you know, he's an intelligent guy, and he's come along very quickly, and he's gotten great press, and he sent me his budgets to look at, kind of like, you know, what you just said. I was Paul Ryan before Paul Ryan was Paul Ryan. I don't know. To me, it didn't sound like he was extremely effusive. He focused a lot more praise on the head of the ticket, of course, Mitt Romney. But it was kind of interesting to hear his response.
Hey, Darryl.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about that?
Well, you remember when John Kasich, of course, was doing his thing as House Budget Committee Chairman. You know, Paul Ryan was really the young punk then, of course. kind of the backbencher.
I was going to say, was he born yet?
He was already in Washington there. But only around the fringes at that point. As my colleague Joe Vard knew, I heard that Kasich had actually been mailed copies, or I don't know, maybe sent electronically, copies of Ryan's budget proposal, and he confirmed it. So I don't know if that's Paul Ryan, you know, sort of going back to the original guru, the old budget committee chairman who actually helped pull it off in the 90s and got this country to a balanced budget.
Who else? I know that the delegation is treated to many eminent personalities across, during the convention. They come and speak during particularly their breakfast sessions. Tell us about who you've been hearing and who the Ohio delegation's been responding to.
Well, just as far as walk in the room, people getting wowed. Condoleezza Rice was there this morning. She was there very quickly. I think her speech was maybe 5 minutes long, and then she had a quick press meeting that was maybe another 5 minutes. Didn't say anything extraordinary, but there's just a sense among a lot of the Ohio delegates that she matters because she's got the foreign policy experience that the others don't. And if she's confident in Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan without either of them having foreign policy experience, then they're confident too.
Daryl?
I was intrigued by Condoleezza Rice's brief press conference afterward that she was asked about the performance of Hillary Clinton as, you know, her successor, Secretary of State. And she praised Hillary Clinton, so, you know, and basically said she's not the problem. But then she went on to criticize more of a big picture Obama administration problem, you know, not standing up for principles in the world. And she was almost caustic in how we are, you know, in her terms, not exact quote, but the sense of her message was, you know, we're letting all this butchery happen in Syria, not doing anything about it. And she went on. And then another reporter must have had the same thought. It's like, this sounds like 2002 building up to Iraq. So he asked, well, should we, like, invade Syria, or should we have American troops there? And she backed off very rapidly. Said, no, I'm not talking about boots on the ground, but she talked about influence in the region with Turkey and some of the other countries. But it was intriguing.
Suzanne in Columbus, you're on the air. You want to talk about the comments that Governor Kasich made regarding home health care for elderly Ohioans. Welcome to the show, Suzanne.
Thank you. Well, one of the things he started out with saying was the way we save money or something along that line. One example of it is that we're helping the elderly stay at home. And we personally experienced this. Our mother was absolutely determined that our father would not go into a nursing home. And through end-stage Alzheimer's, you know, with home health aides, we were able to accommodate that. I think that the elderly, especially depending on the nature of the illness, it's much cheaper to keep them in their homes. It's a cost savings for the state, and it's what the family wants. And I think this is a program that we didn't really get all that involved with all the state things, what they're doing now. But just the fact that you help people keep the elderly in the home at the end of their lives, rather than put them in a costly nursing care facility where they may need the personal attention, I think it's a really worthwhile program. And that's a great way to cut costs for the state and yet help out the families. I mean, it's a win-win for everybody.
It was a smart move in terms of when you're talking about priorities too, right, ML Schulze?
Yeah, and actually this is one of the first things that Governor Kasich talked about. It's something that's been a consistent theme since he took office about wanting to do this. It is some situation in which he took on a lot of a very powerful industry, the nursing home industry, and some powerful lobbying that comes in through that and stuck by it. And it's one of the times when he went against some of the business interests that normally align with Republicans.
Thanks a lot, Suzanne, for that call. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. With us right now is ML Schulze from WKSU in Kent, and also Daryl Rowland from the Columbus Dispatch. They're both covering the Republican National Convention in Tampa. If you're following the convention, we'd love to hear your thoughts, particularly if you're a Republican covering the convention. I shouldn't say covering it, but following the convention. What are your impressions of it? Are you satisfied with it? Is it representative of where you stand as a Republican? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. What about that Maine delegation walking out and the whole Ron Paul issue? M.L. Schulze, is that causing as much? They were talking about it quite a bit on the air last night on PBS.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing happened 4 years ago in St. Paul. What you have is a small but extremely devoted group. I followed a bunch of them into the convention yesterday with the Ron Paul signs. They see it as a key issue to democracy, that they be heard and that they be given the respect as a significant part of the Republican Party. Conventions, though, these days are not about competing voices. They're about unifying behind one voice, and especially with the organization that Mitt Romney has, that has been the focus, and they're not going to give voice wherever they can avoid it to dissent.
Well, considering that television coverage is in radio, NPR is covering it, is the only significant way most Americans will know about this, they're going to hear about the divide, won't they, Daryl, if they're paying attention?
Well, sure, because let's face it, it was not exactly much drama that Mitt Romney won the nomination. So, reporters like me, or especially if you're in the electronic media, you need fresh meat, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's at least a little dust up that's new, so it's a little bit of action. So, yeah, that's going to create a little bit of stir. And I absolutely agree with ML. The fervor of a typical Ron Paul supporter is just something I've never seen. When I was covering the New Hampshire primary in January, I went to a couple of Paul events and was blown away. And, of course, the major question I asked a lot of people then, let's be real, your guy's not going to win, but whoever does win, can you get behind them? And at that point, again, there's a lot of fervor in the early primary season, of course. Mm-hmm. They were saying basically no, that anyone but Ron Paul on the Republican side, you might as well just elect Barack Obama. Now, I doubt there's that many that feel that way, but where an election is really close, who knows if that would be a factor or not.
They were talking about starting a new party. Is that something that could actually, is there some substance to that, or is that just one delegate talking out of his ear?
Well,
it's been tried
on the back
before.
Lines in New Hampshire, well,
right.
That was the question that Congressman Paul got at almost every public appearance. Because, again, everyone knew that there was no way he's going to win the nomination. But he could certainly cause trouble for the eventual Republican nominee. And going that third-party route was suggested then. I think they've distanced themselves. I think the Ron Paul folks, want their moment in the sun, but they realize they're not going to rule the roost these days. But they mix metaphors a bit.
So did the Maine delegation return, or are they out for the balance of the convention? ML,
I don't
know. Do we know? Okay, Daryl, do you know?
I don't know if that was just a spontaneous thing, and now everything's been patched over or not. Frankly, they were sitting way far away from me, so I actually didn't see what happened to them.
Okay. My guests are M.L. Schulze from WKSU in Kent and also Daryl Rowland from the Columbus Dispatch. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with novelist Victor Laval about subjects that have been at the center of his life and his fiction, like religion, family mental illness, and monsters. Well, the monsters are figurative in his real life, but real in his new novel, The Devil in Silver. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Be sure to join our station along with WOSU-TV for live coverage of the Republican National Convention. Continuing tonight, WOSU Public Media brings you special coverage from NPR and PBS at 7 p.m., and it continues each night of the event. Hear key speeches, in-depth analysis, interviews, and more. That's live special coverage from Tampa, and it's tonight at 7 on 89.7 NPR News and on WOSU-TV. 75 degrees with sunshine, warming up to 82 today. Clear skies for tonight, a low of 56. Sunny and a high of 90 for Thursday. Support for 89.7 comes from the State Auto Insurance Companies, providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com. And All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Talking about the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida. It got underway in earnest yesterday, continues today and tomorrow. You can get full coverage at WOSU on WOSU television and also 89.7 NPR News tonight. Both will air tonight and tomorrow night beginning at 7 p.m. You can go to WOSU.org/campaign2012 for a full rundown. I guess we have to let go of ML Schulze from WKSU in Kent. She had to leave for another meeting. Still with us, Daryl Rowland of the Columbus Dispatch. Daryl, once again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ann.
What did you make of Ann Romney's speech last night?
I thought it was really good, quite frankly. Blunt. I bet a lot of people saw her on the screen and said she's 63.
Very attractive.
Her appearance was very stunning. Her message was not Chris Christie type of blunt, but it was blunt in its own way. But I need you to hear this one thing, and she paused. And there's always all this chatter and clatter going on in the convention hall whenever anyone is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that room actually, that huge hall, arena, actually came to silence to hear what she was going to say. So she really had a command, and, people did listen to her. Now, as far as I always wonder how much the candidate's wife really helps. The talk going in, whether this is to show Mitt's softer side or his human side. A spouse can talk about it, his charitable acts and all that in terms of I'm proud of, my spouse for doing this. He doesn't like to make this political, but he really is generous. He really helps out. At the Ohio, the daily breakfast meetings we've had, this morning we had the second of Governor Ann's children in, and his theme was much the same. My dad doesn't like to talk about it a lot, but the guy's doing things for people all the time, through his church, through his community, what have you. He doesn't want to say that, but I'm here to tell you he does.
Well, of course, nothing happens in the campaign without the candidate. I mean, he's not saying it, but his wife and his kids are, so he might as well be saying it.
Right, but this is all part of conventions. I mean, we've started in recent conventions throwing the, in every case so far, it's been the wife out there.
Right.
And say, what a great guy. And they must get something out of it or else they wouldn't be doing it because, as you well know, things are pulled to death. So,
right.
I don't know. Again, especially when we have, well, this was supposed to be a four-day convention, now a three-day convention. You know, they need something to take up that time. And it's interesting, because she was supposed to speak, you know, the first night, then it was going to be Chris Christie alone last night. It's interesting pairing them, because like I say, they, in my view, they were both very direct, but total opposite sides of the coin in how they did that.
Well, it's kind of an interesting show of some of that adversity in the party. Jessica Werman from the Dispatch, your colleague there, reported today, I'm reading from her story about the ABC News, Washington Post national poll taken last week, that found that the president beat Romney on women's issues 51% to 35%, pretty significant. That's been played out, you know, in most of the polling. I don't know any polling that's done anything really much different. The Quinnipiac University poll of Ohio voters released on Thursday found that women backed Obama 54% to Romney's 41%. Does Ann Romney help in terms of that? We know she and her children are going after the issue of, you know, Romney's just a regular guy. He cares about regular people. But what about that gap, the gender gap?
Well, that is an interesting question. And frankly, I wondered about that strategy myself, because is the gender gap there because, you know, women view Romney as, you know, whatever, an economic, you know, superhuman or something like that, and he can't relate to real people, and hearing from the spouse or maybe the kids is going to erase that. You know, I'm just not sure that is all that's going on there. So in some ways, Ann Romney probably had a really difficult task, like, oh, go out there and erase the gender gap. Yeah, don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
Does it help? Maybe at the edges. But there's some real fundamental differences on these candidates, obviously on the abortion issue and, you know, items along that, you know, very fundamental stuff. And a lot, frankly, a lot of pushback from here. There's even like, you know, Republican members of Planned Parenthood are raising a bit of a ruckus. Now, there's not many of those, so it's kind of a small ruckus, but there's a little dust up all the same.
My guest is Gerald Rowland from the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about the Republican National Convention. Have you been listening to it? Have you been watching it on television? Maybe on WOSU. PBS is broadcasting live from the convention in the evenings. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Do you think the convention planners are doing a good job of bringing home the story for Mitt Romney, the presumptive still, well, is he presumptive or, yeah, he's still presumptive,
he,
right?
They no, haven't, he is the nominee.
He is the nominee. They've done that.
Well.
I'm so confused since they started a day late.
Me too.
So tell us what's coming up. Tonight's U.S. Senator from Ohio, Rob Portman. What do you expect from Rob Portman?
It'll be interesting because he has the image of, you know, here's Mr. Bland. When Governor Romney was still looking for a running mate, it was like Portman is the safe choice, but he's not exciting. You know, I'm not going to say he's a rip-roaring speaker. He's not certainly not going to do a Chris Christie or even a John Kasich. But in a lot of ways, and maybe I'm just growing used to him, you know, he can be a pretty effective speaker on the issues. You know, and here's a guy who bikes and whitewater kayaks and all that, so he's, you know, personally, he's not a boring individual at all. I'll give your folks a little preview of what we're doing. My colleague Jessica Werman is sort of following him around today because, you know, this was the week that could have been for Senator Portman. It could have been him instead of giving a, you know, speech of just a few minutes. He would have been in that main primetime slot and giving his acceptance speech as Governor Romney's running mate. Now, I've been with him at a couple events. I don't think there's any personal resentment, or if there is, he's hiding it very, very well. But it's still, you got to think, don't you, that deep down inside, it's like, yeah, that could have been me.
Have you sensed maybe not bad blood or negativity, but maybe a little deflatedness from him when he is speaking and addressing delegates. He's spoken to the Ohio delegation, right?
Yeah, he spoke Monday morning, actually, when we actually had the breakfast, and then everyone kind of waited out the storm. You know, I've probably had three or four things with him, and you know, spoke to them one-on-one. No, it wasn't one-on-one. It was a small group of reporters. He actually had a little press reception. I did zero of that, quite frankly. Now, I say he may be hiding it well. He has, even though he didn't get it this time, and of course he was considered for John McCain's running mate in 2008, didn't get it then, I still think he's very well respected and very highly regarded, certainly in Republican circles.
Well, you know, yeah, he is highly regarded. I know people who like him a lot. Maybe he's just that likable that he isn't the type of person to harbor that kind of ill will, and therefore maybe he wouldn't be right for such a contentious national contest.
Well, it could be. He was on the so-called super committee about a year ago. They tried to come up with a solution to our fiscal mess, and of course they did end up failing, but he was one that really, I think, did try to work with the Democrats. I know he and John Kerry had personal meetings and even thought they had some things done along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is not that, knife him in the back partisan that many of the Republicans here are. In fact, he stressed during his convention or his Ohio delegation speech, the need to, okay, we can bash Obama, and yeah, we do that convention, but it's time to move on. You know, the primary is over here. We need to, okay, what is the alternative the Republicans are offering? It's not just tear down Obama. And that's the thing. Republicans, especially those who attend a convention, you know, they get down in underneath the trees, and you know, they can't get the big picture from 30,000 feet. And they lose it. They lose all perspective. And I think Senator Portman is calling for a little bit of that perspective back. We need to make our case this way. And it is not just tearing down Obama, but it's saying, what are we going to do different and why?
Judy and Bexley are on the air. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Thank you. I listened to the whole thing last night, and there seemed to be a theme among the speakers praising immigrant backgrounds, and gave very improbable to me sounding trajectories that went along the lines of left the old country working in the coal mine, got a job 50 cents an hour washing dishes, paid way through college, started own business, ran for political office.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my grandparents put my parents through college, but it was cheap, you know, and you could afford on a working person's salary to have your first generation kid go to college. It's just, there was just so many gaps and that don't relate to today. Like if you just have the gumption, you can go from working at that gas station to having your kid be a doctor.
There was I think there was the African-American Congress, or she's running for Congress from Utah. Right. She brought that up. Chris Christie brought it up. I can't remember whether John Keyes brought it up so many other times.
Santorum, I think, brought it
okay.
up.
Okay, okay.
You know, there are a lot of coal miners out there. God bless them. But it was just, it just irked me because, you know, people, well, you just get out there and you just start your own business. Well, if you can get a business loan. Well, if you own a house that you can take a second mortgage on and take the risk. And for people who take the risk, a lot of them fail. They still got to eat. You know, they still need health care. You know, they took, you know, plenty of people take the gamble and lose. And, you know, if you're saying, well, you started that florist office, you started that whatever boutique, you know, if people don't have jobs to go in and buy flowers for their wife, you're not going to make, you know, you have to have the customers to have a small business. It just doesn't say, oh, I got a great idea. You could have the best restaurant in town for the cheapest price. But if you don't have enough customers, you haven't got a business.
Or, as you mentioned earlier, the capitalization. Thanks, Judy, for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Daryl, the nights do get themed out a little bit. Was that the theme? Did you hear that theme as well?
Well, the theme for last night was, you know, we build it, which, again, was an in-your-face for Obama's sort of ill-chosen words from, I think still just last month about, you know, you got a business, you know, you didn't build that. Trying to rip off Elizabeth Warren's comments. She said it very well. The president didn't say it quite as well. But the theme is nobody lives in isolation in this country. Government does a lot in terms of infrastructure, developing the internet, what have you. Well, you know, we're just taking the simple message here. And yeah, I thought Don Quixote was going to appear on the platform there or something and you know, give that rags to riches speech there. These people are carefully selected. Mm-hmm. And certainly the Republican Party does want to show the face of many minorities. At the same time, that's not to say these stories are untrue. Mm-hmm. Rick Santorum, you know, his grandfather really did, you know, his father really did. They were immigrants, and grandfather really did work in a coal mine. So in his case, it's legit. We have a governor of South Carolina of Indian descent. She's and her husband done very well for themselves. So it does happen, but then you're not going to put a bad example up on the stage before a national audience, are you? So the question is that typical? And that's why, you know, Judy raises a good point. And, you know, and that's why we have elections and political debates is, okay, can Republicans make that happen better than Democrats mm-hmm. make it happen, and vice versa.
Email from Thomas. He says, regarding Ann Romney's discussion, I saw a lot of fist pumping from my wife when Ann discussed women of America. I believe Ann's understanding and communication of American women will translate to Mitt Romney understands women as well. So at least it did with Thomas's wife. Paul Ryan's coming up tonight as well. What do you expect to hear, Daryl Roland?
I've never heard Paul Ryan in person, so I'm always eager to hear, you know, these new guys.
It really does make a difference. I agree. It makes a difference.
All right. You're not relying on a camera, and you can sort of see, I mean, you can see them all the time, and, you know, you can see the body language better. You can be there and hear how the audience responds. You know, it's just the whole, there's nothing like live, any interactive experience. So, mm-hmm. You know, he is a young gun in this party. Kind of a controversial choice in that, you know, now Mitt Romney, it's not just Paul Ryan's budget, it is the Romney-Ryan budget. It is not just Paul Ryan's plan, if you love it or hate it, on Medicare, it is the Romney-Ryan plan. So when Mitt Romney brought him on board, some people say brought a lot of baggage on board. But, you know, he also, I think, brought a lot of energy on board. I just wonder if this, you know, we talk about the Ron-Paul element. I just wonder if this was the final attempt by Governor Romney to let's cement our own party base here and give us some energy on the campaign trail.
Well, we shall see. Daryl Roland, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about the Republican National Convention.
I'm glad to, Anna. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I had a good time, too. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the All Sides staff. Associate producer Amy Jurovich, All Sides assistant producer Corinne Gleckler, All Sides production assistants Katie Higgins and Leticia Wiggins, All Sides volunteer Rose Joe, with video production by Rich and Amber Karsmitsky. Thanks for listening again to All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener supported at WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.